I don't know. Sometimes that's good. I guess you don't need the villains to always be gray. You know, sometimes black and white is fine. But
no, I appreciated that the villain didn't have any kind of like.
Yeah, we don't need over complicated.
Yeah, he's just a strip asshole. Yeah.
I'm grooming children because I'm planting trees. Like, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Anime Summit Podcast. It's your favorite host with the most, Sam. And of course, with me this week is Nick.
I'm a crazy murderous bitch.
He is. I've seen it.
What did they call her in the Mezzo Forte? Red-haired girl.
They call her the one, the villain chick calls her Orange Girl because she wears the orange jumpsuit. You know.
No. The other one though. The redheaded girl.
They just call her Psycho Bitch.
Psycho Bitch. Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
I probably should have wrote that down.
Yeah, dude.
What do you mean? What is killing like alcohol? Like, is there an age limit?
Speaking of murder, psycho. Oh, so people shouldn't smoke and drink? Oh.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Come on.
Can't do crack? Come on. don't do drugs, please. If you can help it, please try not to. Dude, Danny, speaking of psycho murders, bitches, Danny is out on an assignment. I told her, you see this cat? Go kidnap this cat and bring him to me.
This message will self-destruct.
In five seconds. And then all it is going to be fart. It's a fart noise. And that's it. So she has to take this week off to go get me that kitty. But yeah. That being said, if we need to get her opinion, Nick will, of course, abide by pre-recordings of Danny's voice that he took beforehand. Yeah, dude. So this week, we're back on schedule. Last week, I kind of fumbled the ball a little bit. So we were supposed to do this last week, but we're doing it this week, and we are going to talk about one of my favorite artists. I am excited to talk about it for real because these are the works that made him kind of really popular, and we're going to be talking about Kites and Mezzo Forte. These are like OVA animes that came out in 1998 and 2000, and they kind of... You know, when they came out, there was a lot of controversy involved, right? There was a lot of, you know what I mean? They also came around that time, that sweet spot where in America, there was a lot of talk of who is influencing what, what's making these, are video games violent, or is music violent, you know, that kind of thing. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Anyways, we're not going to get into that stuff, but we're going to get into the OVAs themselves and also the artist, the director. And all that good stuff. So,
I think Kite would still probably be censored today.
Yeah, it most likely. Yeah. So, like, I mean, it would be like a Blu-ray thing where it's like you got to buy the Blu-ray and watch the...
Yeah, I think they could probably leave some of it in, but then, anyway, we can get to it.
Yeah, we can get to it. Link's on animesummit.net. That's where you can find all the links to follow and listen. Your favorite podcast spot, whatever, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And then also you can find the Shopify store there, animesummit.net, and buy a shirt, get yourself a mug or a shirt or a hoodie. And for everyone who voted for the Plummet of the Summit show, thank you so much. That was great. We had a lot of fun. That came out last weekend. Hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't listened to it yet, I suggest you do it. It's great. It's really fun. And also to everyone who listened to, excuse me, I'm adjusting my seat here. Oh my God, ouch. who listened to this week's special interview that we did with Hugh. You should go listen to that if you haven't yet. Anyways, question of the week, Nick, what do you got?
All right. Question of the week. This is from Ed, and they say, what genres in anime need to make a comeback?
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, obviously everyone expects me to say Mecha or Big Robot, right? But I've been wanting to really watch Bang Brave Bravern, and I never got to it. When we did our first impressions, I never got to it. And everyone says it's really fucking cool.
Well, what is that?
It's a big robot show.
Giant robot mecha. Yeah.
It's like a hero robot. It's like one robot, you know? Like Big O, you know? But yeah, Bang Brave Bravern. Really got to watch that. But I would say, so that's like going to be my typical answer. Everyone's going to expect me to say that. And everyone's going to expect me to say this one, but I've never said it before. They should make more delinquent shit.
Ooh.
And I mean, I guess you could say Bushigiri is like kind of there, right? But Bushigiri also has the paranormal comedic stuff wrapped
around
it.
So you mean kind of more like serious delinquent stuff? More like Tokyo Avengers or Great Teacher Onizuka?
So Tokyo Avengers also has like that magical time travel element to it, right?
More like Great Teacher Onizuka.
Yeah, more straight up just...
Although that one stretches it a little bit, but it's at least, you know, there's no magic.
Yeah, no magic, no weird shit, just straight up like...
Slam dunk.
Yeah, even, you know what I mean? Oh, like, whatever.
Slam dunk is so good.
I'm reading the manga right now. It's pretty cool. I like the manga a lot. But, yeah, what about you, Nick? What do you think?
We already said Mecha. You know what? Isekai? You know? I'm kidding.
This needs to make a comeback right now.
I don't know. You know what I want to see more of? Like, the old-timey romance, like Onisama-E, Dear Brother type stuff. I want to see that type of shit.
Mm.
Like overly dramatic. Who did Onisama-E? I keep forgetting who did this. Dear Brother, this is... Dazaki. I want to see more, like, Dazaki-style shows. Like, just, you know, crazy shit. I don't know. Jose would be good if they had more of that. You did not expect me to say that, huh? Love that show.
Jose? Yeah, dude.
If it's good. What are we, like, short on? I guess you could say horror. Just because it's so thin.
That's a good one.
It never really had a heyday to begin with. So I guess if we want to fill out some stuff, I'd say horror. Which actually we're getting because, what is it? The Spiral anime is coming out. The Junji Ito, what is it?
Uzumaki,
that's it. Is that coming out this year?
I believe that's this year.
So that might kickstart something, I hope.
I was gonna say, I wonder if it's because also, J horror in general, like the live action Japanese horror that they do over there, is way more popular than having it in anime form. But I don't know. Who knows? Korean horror is apparently really huge. You know what I mean? So like,
alternatively, we could just do slasher if that's easier.
Do slashers, dude? Yeah.
Which is like horror, but not as like. Yeah, just have like Freddy in there. You know, just. Sloyson
and Doyson. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, those are my picks. You know, you got Dazaki and you got slashers.
You got Dazaki and you got slashers.
Maybe a little bit of both. Maybe the slasher falls in love with the final girl, you know?
The final girl, yeah. Waifu has Bando. Danny's not here, so I'll just do it real quick.
Let's pick some Fruits Basket characters.
No, we picked him. I picked him from the show, Nick.
I know, that'd be funny, though. Whoa, wow, I wonder why these are any good. You know what? We'll never know.
Sawa from Kite, and also the guy opposite of her, Obori, from Kite. They kind of meet each other and relate to each other, and they're both in the same assassin job. And yeah, it kind of, it's when you watch it, you'll understand it a little more, but... if you watch it. So, I will say, because these are just, like, short OVAs, like, they're 40 minutes to an hour long, we are going to spoil, you know? So, I mean, when we start talking about stuff. So, just, if you'd like, stop it right here, go to the bathroom, take a poop, watch them really quick, and come back. I'll give you about 30 seconds, okay? Here we go. Okay, and we're done. All right, moving on. Hey! So, we're going to talk about this in order, release order. One thing that Nick taught me that's really important... Whether it's a sequel or not a sequel or a universal sequel or a rebootquel or whatever the hell it is, always watch in release order. It makes things simpler. So you don't have to go Yeah, you don't have to go thinking, well, if this one is chronologically first, then don't I have to poop in the pants? No, just watch in release order, and then you can make the connection in your mind later. It's way easier that way. In some ways, it's more fun that way.
And they did that... for a reason, right? Like, they put them out in that order for a reason.
Yeah, you know, so...
You know, like, Haruhi or Monogatari or that seven-movie series, I can't remember the name. Yeah, like, those came out in a particular order. You could watch them chronologically, which I watched Haruhi chronologically on accident because that's how it was. That's how it was on the website at the time. But anyway.
Yeah. So
it hits different.
So even though that these two are completely different stories, they do take place in the same universe. So that being said, you know, they one doesn't really matter over the other in which order you watch them in. But in if you do want to watch them, I don't know, just do in release order. Just make it easy. It doesn't matter. In this particular case, again, it doesn't matter. But if you want to, if you do care that much, then just do it in release order. That being said, we'll talk about Kite first. In Japan, it's known as A Kite. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I tried to look into that. I couldn't find out why. But Kite.
They wanted it to show up first in the search. Dewey Decimal, man.
In the fucking in the phone book, we'll come up first.
Yeah. Hey, that's all Anime Summit. I mean, you know.
What the fuck is AAA Auto? God, shit. AAA Podcast, what is this shit?
My YouTube channel is just, just all A's.
Okay, how much does Nick has? He has 10 A's? Okay, we'll do 11.
Oh, shit. You gotta do a number first. Does that go first or last? I forget.
I think it comes after. No, it comes first. It comes first. Maybe you gotta do a symbol. I don't know.
01.
Okay, Kite. 1998. Studio Arms, directed by Yasumi Umetsu, who's the artist behind... Artist and creator and director behind
a bunch of stuff. We gotta list what he's done.
He's got a big resume. Later on... He kind of actually we can talk about him really quick as long as I bring his name up real quick. He studied at the Educational Corporation in Chiyoda Gakuin. He wasn't really interested in like anime and stuff like that at first. I guess he drew a short manga like for Kodansha a while back, and then it kind of just went from there. He kind of went through Tsuchida Production through the head of the department at his school, and then he kind of. I don't know, it's like his career was kind of off and on. He didn't really do much. He became involved with Toei Animation, where he worked as an in-betweener and key animator for a few things. Arcadia of My Youth in the 1981 American Spider-Man series. So he worked on some American cartoons. Then he worked at Madhouse for a little bit. He did some stuff with Katsuhiro Otomo as a character designer.
Yeah, for Akira, right?
I believe...
You did some key animation on that.
Yeah, I believe so, yes. Yep. And then he did some other stuff, and he actually worked on Robot Carnival, which we'll be reviewing in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that was his directorial debut, I think.
Yeah, because Robot Carnival is like an anthology of a bunch of different stuff.
We were supposed to review that a while ago, and we haven't done that yet.
No, yeah, we keep pushing it. Yeah, we should see if we can get a guest on that one. But anyways, podcast.
He did key animation on Grave of the Fireflies. This guy was a great animator.
Yes. And so his art style really had this, and that's why I love him. I got a few of his art books on my fucking eBay watch list.
Dude, this
right
is
now.
This is like the quintessential like late 90s, early 2000s anime,
yes.
In my opinion. Like,
it's got this
style.
Realism to it in a weird way, but then the girls have still the big moe eyes.
They're kind of doll-like, but not like...
Yeah!
It's not like key animation. It's not like KyoAni, like Kite, or
no.
Canon or whatever.
No, yeah, not at all. And like... Even some of the pretty boys, you know, they have like this look to them, you know. But yeah, he did a lot of stuff. And then he did Kite. And, you know, it had a lot of controversy. And we'll get to that part later. But like, you know, which is weird because there was obviously crazier things coming out before that. But yeah, it was a big deal. It was this big, it became such a big deal that like, people started hearing about it all over the place. And to the point where, like, the person who played Gogo Yubari, Chiaki Kuriyama, she's also in Battle Royale, by the way. She's great. She plays Gogo Yubari in Kill Bill. And Quentin Tarantino was like, you should watch this. You should watch this this anime. And get kind of, maybe that's kind of the idea I want for Gogo, because I'm more sadistic. And so...
Should have made her watch Mezzo Forte, too.
Yeah, Mezzo Forte.
I'm thinking, like, the crazy psycho bitch from that.
The psycho bitch. But, yeah, I mean, it's...
This kind of reminds me of Leon the Professional a little bit.
There was some...
Remember that? Have you ever seen that?
Yes, there's some inspiration for that in from this too.
I don't know if that was directly like on purpose or not, but it just reminds me of it a little bit. I mean, obviously in the Leon there wasn't some of the scenes that were in Kite, but
no,
which
and
we
I don't
talk about. But
I don't think there was. In it said it somewhere. I'm trying to remember where I read it, but when I was doing research on Kite.
Oh yeah, I
it said
up
that
well,
somewhere.
Oh, I pulled up Kite and I just clicked on a few links, and one of them was the character from Hunter x Hunter. Whoops, wrong one.
Whoops. But yeah, that's how big of an impact Kite has had. It's this big, weird, kind of iconic, not just because of Umetsu's art style, but because of, the story and where everyone was talking about it because of the controversy it caused and stuff. That being said, Umetsu's, like, his art style in general is just, like, this really... He likes to draw a lot of girls with guns, assassination badass girls who look really cute, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, femme fatale, that type of thing.
Yeah, he draws... And he likes to draw a lot of, like... It's a lot of very fashionable, almost, kind of stuff. Like if they're, like, they're in fashion magazines, like, he draws a lot of girls, like, wearing jackets with a big leopard-spotted, tank top underneath and...
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, this reminds me of, like, I should really learn more about film, but it just reminds me of, like, some kind of 70s French art film or something, Kite. I don't know if that's accurate, but it reminds me of it, if that makes sense.
French?
Just the way that it's
French-y?
Shot. Yeah.
There was a lot of angles in Kite that were like, oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of shadows, a lot of characters looking in or out of windows, the somber music, that type of thing.
A lot of the promotional art too for Kite that he did, very much like that. It's very much a lot of Umetsu's work in general, whether it's just one piece or a promotional piece for his work, it just looks like a movie poster without the words.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kite poster on my anime list is awesome. She's like bending over like a, but then like the shadow is like a different shadow and it kind of reminds me of one of those, like, sunscreen bottles. But it's
don't
like...
Don't forget to put them on your butt.
It's colorful, but, like, dark colorful, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
It reminds me a little bit of Perfect Blue.
Yeah.
And Cowboy Bebop, I guess. Which, funnily enough, the voice actor for Ed voiced the main girl in Mezzoforte. In the dub.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which makes sense, because Cowboy Bebop and Perfect Blue both came out around the same time as Kite, so, yeah, I mean, it makes a little bit of sense. They look
Actors getting work. Gotta get them work. Charlie Watson is her name. Charlie Watson. But yeah, dude. So, yeah, pretty much that's a little rundown of Yasumi Umetsu. He's great. I have a couple of his art books on my watch list. I gotta buy those because I want them really bad. But basically, so the way Kite is, we'll get into Kite now. And Nick had to break this down for me because I didn't know. Because the last time I watched Kite, I was a kid, and the version I watched was a censored version, obviously. So yeah, and so like,
so I was like, what's that booby?
Booby. I was like 13, I think, or 14 or something. But like,
oh, hey, you were just the right age.
I was like, ooh.
You're the same age as the character, right?
So it's two OVAs, two episode OVAs that are 27 minutes long. And then there's like a 45 minute version that's like the censored version. That's just one big 45 minute ep.
And before we start, I would recommend watching the uncensored version. I think those scenes add a lot to the vibes and the narrative of the they fit with what the story is trying to tell.
And
with the caveat of like they could have done it a little bit differently in one of the scenes, but
yeah, I personally
I think the scenes are needed except for the young scene.
So I watched the censored version first, and then because for some reason I thought it was the uncensored one, and then I went back to the part where it was censored. There's not that much different. There's like a few parts, like, because in the censored version, they cut it just enough where you understand what's going on. They don't cut it too much. They cut it just enough where you don't see any bad stuff happen. You don't see any, like, actual stuff happening. So, like, you kind of get the gist. You know what I mean? Like, it's heavily implied what's happening, in the censored version. So, I don't know. In my opinion, I don't think it's...
I just think if you're going to watch it, watch the director's cut.
Sure.
You know, that's what the director wanted to portray.
Yeah.
Obviously, don't watch it in public, you know, but... yeah, it just flows better. And I do agree that they could have done the scene where she first had sex, because she was younger than 18. She was like I don't know what age, but like, and it didn't even hit me at first, because like the first time I watched it, I'm like, I didn't register that she was supposed to be younger than 18 in one of the sex scenes, and she was. And that's why this was censored, because like they couldn't release that commercially as it was. So if they just changed that scene, I think there's one or two of those, and they're very brief. They're like 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it's shot like kind of artfully too. There is artistic merit to it. It's not just smut, you know? But yeah, if they just changed those to be like almost nude, or, you know, a silhouette, or like implied in some way where you really got the point but you didn't have to actually see the nudity, then I think it would have been fine. But all the other scenes are fine. I mean, like, you get to see dick and balls in this. You know, like, the dude's got a hog too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I think the sex scenes actually do help what the story's trying to tell. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Some shows or movies, they don't really help, but this one I think it does.
I think in this case, I prefer it to be just implied and just cut in a way where it's implied. I don't know. I guess
because it's supposed to be gritty, and it's supposed to show
that's true.
Know,
I know
she's
yeah, I
in
know.
The underworld. This guy is totally controlling her. You know.
Yeah. Which is funny because like his whole goal is to like get rid of like creeps and pedos and violent rapist, but he's like grooming.
Yeah, fight fire with fire, kind of. But he's a total, you know, creeper.
Yeah,
because he basically, what does he do? He grooms essentially young girls, or I think guys too, to assassinate, you know, whoever he wants to assassinate.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and he works.
His name
like,
is Akai. Akai is the bad guy.
Yeah, and he works with the police. Yeah. So like he's got files on people, and he'll be like, oh, he like does vigilante justice, but like through grooming young kids or whatever. I think his partner, Kanye, he does like, he's the one who gets the guys, and then he's the one who gets the girls, which is like, you can kind of put two and two together, I guess. But that being said, the way it starts is like, I mean, she's assassinating some dude in the beginning, and then by using her charm as a young girl to be like, oh yeah, you know, hey, you can, let's go up to your room and blah, blah, blah. Then bop, 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 it's over. She gives him she busts the cap, you know? And so that's kind of how they introduce her character. And she's kind of desensitized to it because of the way she was brought up, right? Her parents were murdered. And then the police guy finds her, Akai finds her, and that's it, right? That's who she is. That's what she does. And she meets the other assassin guy, Oburi, who's like around her same age. And they kind of have similar paths. They're both orphaned. They both kind of don't know anything else. They kind of realize like, wow, we have a lot in common in a weird way or whatever. And then, I mean, I'm just going to say it, which is why it doesn't matter. Because like, I think to me, it's more about the way things are kind of played out, the execution. The ending is really good, but, like, you know, it's kind of... I mean, they do imply it, like, halfway through, so... But, like, basically, Akai is the one who killed her parents. Or Kanye and Akai are the ones who killed her parents, and then they took her from there. So
yeah,
then...
They totally, like, corrupt her, and then also Oberi. We assume he had a similar situation, although I don't know if he had sex with the guys, but...
Yeah.
They didn't show that, but...
No. But it's yeah.
And basically. and the thing about this too is like it has a very downer ending. Like we can talk about that later, but
oh, it really does.
It Kite really is like a very artsy-fartsy anime. Which I like it the more I think about it.
Yeah, it almost has it takes this very small section of the criminal underworld, or the corrupted criminal underworld with cops, and zooms in on these characters, and these characters are all very fucked up in their own way because of XYZ reasons. And for like Akai and Kanye, the two guys who run the whole thing, it doesn't really matter. You don't really care about them. They're assholes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But for Kite and Oburi, and then finding each other in their similarities and in their pain, it's like that's kind of like the whole idea. These criminals, as ruthless as they are, they have no hesitation of defending themselves, to take a life to defend themselves and do their job. But they have like these they have these big holes inside of them that they each other can fill, you know what I mean, in a weird way. And so I think that's like kind of the whole idea about it. And it is gory and gritty. And
It's super like gory, because like the gun that Sawa uses is similar to the Dominator from Psycho Pass, and allegedly Psycho Pass took some inspiration from Kite. I don't know if they ever announced that, but like there's some kind of inspo there, because the gun shoots like exploding bullets.
Right.
That they impact you, and then the guys are like, "Rah!" And, like, they fucking explode.
Yeah. And so, like, a lot of bullets, and I don't know much about guns, so don't like hang me for this or whatever, but like, there are bullets out there that already do that, right? But like, not in Kite, they like legit are like little.
Well, no, they're little like actual explosives. Like,
yeah, they're
bullets
actual
that,
explosives.
Like, act as shrapnel that will like.
Yeah.
They'll essentially shrapnel once they land. But these are like actual.
These are
like,
actual like little
mini
grenades
or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like they'll fucking it'll land in your mouth and then blow up your whole face. Your head is essentially gone. Like, that's how big of an explosion it is. And so she can actually change the mode of the gun to be like a regular gun too, to shoot regular bullets, which is kind of cool. But yeah, the gun design in this is really cool. I was like, oh, those are fucking unique. They look like, they remind me of Overwatch a little bit. They're a little Overwatchy.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
LOL. LOL.
Yeah, it's actually super depressing now that I remember. The ending is super sad.
Oh dude, yeah, the ending is brutal.
Yeah.
Oh man, I also like about this is the style that Sawa has, like her hair loops, and her earrings that are made from the blood of her parents.
Yeah, like, it's super sick.
She's dressed. She has a lot of different outfits too. It's not just like the mono anime outfit. Like she's disguised as a schoolgirl. She wears like a wig at one point. She does a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah.
So she's like a really. She's like a corrupted cutie, basically, according to TV Tropes.
A corrupted cutie. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the main thing I would take away from Kite is it's very stylish, if nothing else. I think it does, if we're going to get into some, like, downsides, some nitpicks, I think there's, I don't know, it's... The dialogue could have been better, which could always be better for everything, but there wasn't like a lot of memorable dialogue to me.
Yeah.
Oburi, the character, the male character, wasn't as sympathetic as Sawa, but they didn't have a lot of time to get to him either, so like I guess that makes a little bit of sense. Akai was also just like basically pure evil. Well, I don't know. Sometimes that's good. I guess you don't need the villains to always be gray. You know, sometimes it's black and white is fine. But
no, I appreciated that the villain didn't have any kind of like.
Yeah, we don't need overcomplicated.
Yeah, he's just a straight up asshole. Yeah,
I'm grooming children because I'm planting trees. Like, we don't need that.
Yeah. I mean? Like, when
well,
I was a kid,
that
I saw
bad,
some
you know?
Shit. Nah, man, fuck you. Like, go to hell. You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with that. I feel that. I appreciate, like, we can talk about the controversy and all that stuff, but I don't really care about that too much, because obviously this is in 98. Things are different now. There's a lot more crazy, violent things happening on TV now, especially on, like, streaming originals like Netflix and Hulu and stuff.
Well, yeah, so, it wasn't the violence though; it was a controversy. It was the scene.
It was the sex, the
underage. Of Sawa where she was younger. She was
And
the thing that mixed me up because like she had sex a couple other times where she was older, presumably 18-ish. I don't know, or maybe whatever. But like the younger scene, you know, they didn't really need to have that, but then at the same time they did. And it was artfully done, I think. It was like, dude, if I mean, some of the stuff that's out there now that's not art, that's just like total smut, is like way worse than this.
Yeah.
That being said, that doesn't mean this is could have been done differently, but
yeah.
I'm talking about anime specifically, obviously, not like the real thing. Because like, here's the thing too, with Kite, like you could never shoot that scene with real people, obviously.
No.
Not in America anyway.
No.
So I get it. I get it. Just the idea of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of the main controversy about Kite. It's not it had a purpose. It wasn't just like, you know, to get your rocks off or whatever. So
yeah. Yeah. That being said,
what else we got here?
I mean, I was going to say I agree with you, like everything you said. I think it's a really like that outside stuff aside, like the controversy and all that stuff, as a work, I think it's really good.
Yeah, and I really I think it. Like the number one thing to me is the style.
Yeah.
The what's his name again? I keep forgetting the guy's name.
Yasumi Umetsu.
Umetsu, yeah.
Yeah. Umetsu-san.
Yeah. This guy has great style.
Great style.
It only has a 6.53 on MAL, so that's a little bit low. But I guess it is an older show, so
get low.
It doesn't have the
get low.
Doesn't have the recency bias.
Recency bias.
And it is a little bit overly dark at the ending. Like in the end, we can spoil like, Sawa is raped by Akai in front of Obori, and then like. I think they eventually defeat Akai. Like she turns on him. She turns on Oburi, but then she turns back on Akai again. So like they turn on, and then at the very end, Oburi gets killed by a different assassin girl who was groomed by somebody else.
Yeah.
And she's like laying down waiting for him. She's like, I wonder when he'll get here. You know, like that's basically the end. And it's like, God damn, dude. So, yeah. Makes sense. Oh, we forgot to mention. There's a really famous scene in Kite where they dive out of a window and they crash through like multiple layers of city.
Oh yeah, dude.
That was sweet. Like
what
the animation
the
cuts for that were awesome. That's like a Sakugaboro. I think that's a pretty popular famous Sakugaboro scene.
It is, yeah. It is. And I can't find the person who did the work, but the only animator that I follow that I recognized that worked on this was Ishihama. And I don't know if he did any cuts in that specific scene, but that was hilarious. That was so fucking good.
Yeah, they fall out the window onto a car, onto the street. And Sawa's like on top of the bad guy. And like he's taking the brunt of it. Now, in real life, she'd probably get like badly hurt or killed too. But, you know, it's action show. So like
she turns him around. So
they fall into a car.
On him.
And then, like, the car falls through the street into the what is it, the subway or the sewer system? And
through a bridge?
Yeah, that breaks again. Yeah. And, like, again. And then she gets, and then, like, something explodes. Like, and she gets exploded back up into an office building
through window. Through a window, yeah.
Lands onto a bed. It's just so
what
ridiculous.
The fuck? That's, like, that's that shit. That's that action movie shit where if you saw it in the theater, like on you know, you're watching Fast and the Furious, you're like, oh come on, that's stupid, right? But
yeah,
you watch it
yeah.
here and you're like, no, it's crazy. Like
that was awesome.
that's dope, yeah. Oh man. Super good. Yeah, dude.
That's a returning genre we need. Just crazy action shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Ishihama. So Masashi Ishihama was an animator I've been following for a couple years now. And he does a lot of the fight sequences. He does a lot of cuts where somebody's flipping around and kicking someone's ass. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. He's done a lot of stuff for a lot of OVAs that I've watched as a kid, like Legend of Cristania and things like that. But he also worked on some scenes from Fooly Cooly,
Oh, the original one, right?
The original, yeah. So like, yeah, there's a scene in the Firestarter episode where Conti first comes out and he does like a little round flippy thing and kicks the robot in the face. That was him. And then also he's worked on Read or Die. All like a lot of the action sequences in Read or Die.
Oh yeah, yeah. Zemetsu did Read or Die also.
The OVA, yeah, the OVA.
Yeah.
And so, and also a lot of the fight sequences in the Ninku Knife no Buyo movie, which I have not seen yet, but like I've just watched a couple fight scenes from it. For some reason too, Ishihama has done a lot of baseball things where like a baseball is getting hit and then thrown through.
Well, we'll get to that in Mezzo Forte.
We'll get to that in Mezzo Forte, yeah, absolutely. But yeah.
What do we rate Kite? Like, we recommend
ooh,
it?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Do you want to do a tier list, like OVA tier? Like, what? Okay, out of the anime OVAs you've seen, you know, what kind of level would you put it at?
It's up there. I'm thinking.
I should look up all my OVAs. I haven't seen as enough. But
we should do an OVA tier list episode.
We got to watch more of them, though.
I mean, I've seen
a ton
bunch
from the
80s
and 90s.
Yeah.
That's where most of them were, actually. Or, well, a lot of the famous ones.
A lot of the famous ones, yeah. Yeah, which is a lot of the ones I've seen. I'll give it an 8. Honestly.
It's up there. I'd give it a similar, actually,
you know what? Seven and a half.
Yeah. I think if I'm comparing it to all anime, I would give it, like, there's parts I really enjoy, but it's also lacking a certain something. So I'd give it, like, a 7. But for out of the OVAs I've seen, I'd put it higher up, like an 8 compared to the OVAs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what do we got? So speaking of baseballs, Mezzo Forte, this is next. This is also by Umetsu.
Yeah. So, like, these
this one has maybe better designs, actually.
Yeah. In terms of, like, Umetsu work, I think that he had a little more fun with this one. This is a little more comedy to it, not as serious.
This one was more enjoyable, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think Kite might have been better, but less enjoyable.
Yeah. Kite was a little more somber and depressing a little bit. Yeah. This one's a little more action-y and, you know.
It's goofy, fast-paced.
It's a little goofy.
But also violent and sexy.
Yeah.
And the sex scenes are better in this one.
Yeah, the sex scenes in this one are just like straight up. It's straight up.
They went for it.
Yeah. The three members of the Danger Service Agency, Mikura Suzuki, Tomohisa Harada, and Kenichi Kurakawa, are tasked with kidnapping Momokichi and taking down his criminal empire, which is like he basically owns the baseball team, the Peach Twisters, and he'll fucking just kill anyone who fucks with his team.
And the funny thing with the Peach, like Peach in Japanese, I think it sounds like Momo or Momoi or something. So like his daughter is named. Is named Momoi, right? Or no, her name is Momomi Momoi, which is like Peachy Peacherson, basically.
Peachy Peacherson, yeah.
So, like, it's just all peaches.
David
all
Davidson.
Down. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. John Johnson.
My name is Apple Appleton, and we are the Apple Jacks baseball team.
Yeah, the Apple Jacks baseball team. Yeah, dude. So, they're the DSA, they're tasked with capturing Momokichi and taking down his criminal empire. However, born with a gun in hand, Mikura is used to dancing with danger. The only unknown quantity is Momomi, reputed to be a cold-blooded killer with a twisted
psycho
mind.
The psycho bitch.
She should stand in DSA's way. Should she stand in DSA's way, Suzuki might find herself a worthy opponent. Mikura Suzuki. So yeah, this one is just basically some crime shit, criminal underground shit. The DSA is like they're like a hitman group where basically you pay them to hit people, right? And a lot of the time it's just bad guys.
They're like unorthodox cops, kind of.
Yeah. And
or special investigators or whatever.
The one guy, Harada, or Tomohisa, he is also like a smart dude who builds robots. So like the beginning of it, they're trying to sell a robot who's like a, you know, to use as like a sex doll, right?
And yeah, that's kind of what they're funding themselves with.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the two assholes that are buying it from her, or buying it from them, they stiff them, and so that's how it shows some action in the beginning there. It shows how skilled they are and how the three of them work together, and it's really hilarious. And, yeah, pretty funny. That's like it's a good, really quick little mission thing that kind of shows how the three of them work together, how crazy not crazy, but how skilled and unhinged Mika is. You know, she just goes for it. And then you have Harada, who's like, God damn it, like, everything's going wrong.
Fucking yeah, they accidentally kill Momoi.
They accidentally kill the guy. Yeah, fucking.
They're, like, way over their heads.
Yeah, they take this job for the, yeah, they take this fucking job to like, bring in the guy, you know, alive and knocked out. And they accidentally kill him.
Well, like, they kidnap him while he's on the shitter.
Yeah, they put something in his cup to make him poop. And then, yeah, it's the sound effects of him diarrheaing is so gross, man. Like, I didn't think they were going to put it in there. Like, it's like, oh. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Hey, pro tip. This is a side note. Pro tip from your homegirl, Sam. If you ever have to call in and you just don't want to go to work, just say you have diarrhea. What are they going to do? Nothing. You have fucking diarrhea, dude. You're not going to fucking... You can't do your job if you're running to the John every 10 minutes. Right? Pro tip right there. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome to stay as long as you like. Anyways.
Dude, their car reminds me of Lupin's car.
I think that's kind of what the idea was.
Yeah, it's the same Volkswagen type of car. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a buggy,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a different color, but yeah.
But yeah. Different color for sure, because I think in Lupin,
and the old Baldy is always complaining about his car. He's like, my poor car!
Which is funny, because there's an Umetsu piece I saw earlier where he did. Is a little Lupin fan work he did. Anyways. Yeah, Mezzo Forte, man. And then so... There's this little thing in it, too, which... So, by the way, I should say this. We forgot to mention this earlier. But Kite does have a sequel called Kite Liberator.
That takes place 10 years later. Oh, yeah, I watched it. It's not memorable.
Yeah, apparently it's not very good. And it takes place
terrible,
like 10
it's just, you know.
Apparently it takes place like 10 years later or something. It's with a different girl. Some other shit.
That one has like a monster in it. I'm like, what the hell's happening here? Is this Mars of Destruction? Like,
what is this, Mars of Destruction, dude? Mezzo Forte also has. It actually became a 13 episode series after this.
Yeah, Mezzo DSA.
Yeah, and apparently it's also pretty okay.
2004. Yeah.
Which maybe we'll watch later sometime. But for the sake of Umetsu's work and, you know, the popular work that kind of set him off, we just wanted to talk about these two things.
There's also a live action Kite with Samuel L. Jackson.
There is, yeah.
Which is wild.
And I remember when they announced that, and I was, all I remember is I saw the trailer once and I never heard from it again. Like, I assume it was bad. You know what I mean? But like,
it's 2014 is when this one came out.
Yeah, 2014.
And I imagine the score is not high. 4.4 on IMDb. Holy shit.
Sheesh, man.
19% Metacritic, yeah.
I don't know about all that noise. Yeah, it's crazy.
Just watch the anime.
Just watch the anime, dude. It's fine.
Dude, I can't get enough of this orange jumpsuit.
It's cool, right?
I'm obsessed with it. Like, bodysuits, it just does something for me.
I really like the character design in Mezzo Forte a lot.
Yeah, Mikura Momoi. I can't even say it.
Her big fucking orange pluff,
her big hair.
Fluff.
She's like Asuka if Asuka was like murderous of people. Like, she reminds me of Asuka Langley Soryu, but she's not actually Sundere. She's just Sun.
No, I'll just kill you. Yeah.
Yeah, kill you 5,000.
She's Yandere. Well, Yandere is more like unhinged, like, yeah, I guess.
No, she's just violent. The only person she likes is her father. And, you know, she's like, you know, she bowls with him and has fun with him, but then everybody else, like, she, after her henchmen fail her, she walks down a hallway and she's like, "Hand me your gun." She walks back down the other hallway. And you just hear bullets flying. She kills a whole bunch of guys.
She kills all the guards that were supposed to be watching her dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The doctor's like, "This one's still breathing." And then she just turns around and shoots him again.
Yeah.
This bitch is crazy.
Yeah, that's how unhinged she is. She's like, "Well, if you fail, like, in my presence, I'm going to kill you. You're useless." Like, you know.
And apparently, Sawa makes a cameo in this from Kite.
She does. It's like 2 seconds.
Yeah, she, like, walks past a window or something.
The fucking investigator guy who starts bothering Kuro in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, the cop or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, right when he's talking to her, or right when he's talking to him, he's like, "Yeah, send some murder down the street or some bullshit." She walks right past him, right behind him.
Yeah, so same universe. It's a multiverse.
Yeah, so you can assume that maybe it's just for funsies, or maybe you can assume that the ending didn't happen in a negative way in Kite. But like, yeah, I thought that was really funny. I was like, wait, was that Sawa just now? But yeah, so let's talk about this really quick, and then we can, you know, whatever. But There's so I'm sure they cover this. The reason why I bring up the TV series, the Mezzo DSA, is because I'm sure they cover this more in that series, because they don't really cover it in the OVA. But there's like this psychic connection that Mikura and Momomi have, where they like kind of predict, they kind of see each other, like predict future.
Oh yeah, they look alike. They're related somehow.
And they're both very skilled, like acrobatic wise and martial arts wise, and.
But they're human, right? They're not robots, right?
No. They're human. There's like also like this idea that maybe Momomi's dad, Momokichi, like might have had an affair, and that's who Mika's real dad is or some shit. And so I think they're supposed to be sisters, I think. And they might talk more about that in the series, but we don't know because we didn't watch that. So that's why I brought up the TV series just a bit ago.
We could find out. We just don't want to Google it right now.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to just. I don't want to spoil it just in case I watch it, I guess. But
yeah,
In the OVA, there is that kind of thing where it's left unanswered. So if you watch just the OVA, just know that you're not gonna see any more thing, anything about that. That being said, the sex scenes in this are like straight up, like
up hentai, and there's sperm and spooge.
There's Tubi DP. TV and Retro Crush where you can watch these at, but they have the censored versions. I actually went to a hentai site just to watch these. But like, which I guess there's other sites where I could have watched them that weren't hentai sites, but I just did just because I knew they would have the uncensored version. They're straight up like, and they don't last that long. It's like a typical hentai scene. It's like 3 minutes of them fucking and sucking dick and 69, whatever the hell. Different positions, whatever. Jizzing you.
Yeah, then, yeah. The thing with this one, though, the sex scenes in Mezzo Forte are not integral to the story.
No, they're just like, ooh. Like, you know what I mean?
They
like,
could have totally, you know, you can watch the censored version of this and it's fine.
Yeah, I could have done without reverse, them, honestly. Like, it's like.
I mean, they were good. They were short, but they were pretty good scenes, actually.
Yeah, they weren't bad.
As far as like animation and like character staying on model, you know.
Yeah,
I have low standards, so because half the anime hentai stuff is so bad, they go off model, like their legs and arms look all fucked up and stuff. It's like, what are they doing? And my question is like, how do they not see this? Like when you're animating it and the character's off model, I'm talking like their limbs are out of whack. It's like, why put that out there? Just fucking don't do that.
Why are you in the shape of a peace sign and a pretzel at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we have a post somebody posted on Discord of a guy fucking, and he has the flattest ass I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So funny.
I think
looking.
I put that so we can go back and laugh at it. So the first one is a dream that Mikura is having. It's like a nightmare like where both her coworkers are like, "Oh, let's have sex," or whatever, and they do it or whatever. And I don't know how old she is. I know she's a young girl, but I don't think she's, like, underage. I think she's, like,
yeah, you have to assume she's 18 or something.
You have to assume she's 17, 18, 19. Yeah, so maybe underage. I don't know. But It's my understanding that they're all adults, but I mean, they don't say. But that being said, the second sex scene in it, in the second half of it, the two guys who tried to rip them off in the beginning capture her for the Momos. And then the Kenichi and Tomohisa, the other two DSA agents, are able to replace her with a robot version of her really quick. So they're actually doing it with a robot version of her. And that's just like a double penetration, two guys, one girl situation, and it's whatever, it's stupid. It's kind of dumb, to be honest with you. The first one I was like, okay, I guess, you know. The second one was just like, all right. Like, you know. I'm of the mindset again of this one, it's not needed. I don't think it's.
Yeah, but it's hot.
Yeah, but it's hot.
It's provocative.
It's provocative. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's all right.
And the thing is, it makes it okay because one of them was a dream and the other one was the sex robot. So technically nobody was hurt.
Robots don't have rights.
Yes. They right. can't feel pain, or if they do, I hope they are in constant pain. Just kidding.
What the fuck?
Oh, I went a little mamoy there for a second.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude. It's funny. It's kind of a funny thing. It turns out at the end that like Mikura, with another one of her future sight things, she sees a prediction of like a future job, so she leaves, and then that's kind of the end of it. It's kind of they leave each other, and it's whatever. But I mean, that being said, I don't know how I would compare this to the other one. The other one had a little bit more of like a darker underground theme to it, where this one was just kind of like a fun crime story, but almost kind of executed better in its own way.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how. Maybe Nick understands what I'm trying to say, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. But
well, I think as I mentioned it earlier. Like Kite was more. It was more artistic, but like you said, it was more somber. So you got to really be in the mood for that. Mezzo Forte, you can watch in most days, and you'd be fine.
Yeah.
Kite is kind of like a rainy day thing. It's like, I'm feeling fucking depressed, you know? but I think Kite was more influential because it came first. But Mezzo Forte is actually still pretty influential. Like, just the designs alone, the character designs,
yeah.
Especially of the main girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ishihama did... The main fucking part that a lot of people share sometimes on aesthetic anime web pages, social media pages, he did a lot of the cuts in that fucking bowling alley scene, I think. And also,
yeah.
Also
yeah, she throws
DSA.
A bowling ball that explodes. It comes back through the thing and explodes.
And it's like, wait, I meant to. I told you to throw it that way. It's like, haven't you never been bowling before?
Yeah,
like,
don't you know how to bowl?
Yeah, that was funny, man. That was good. That was good. Yeah.
Dude, I got to get a GF and make her wear this Mezzo Forte costume, dude. I'm obsessed now.
The orange jumpsuit, dude.
It's like Fifth Element level, except not as like weird as that.
Yeah, dude, the fifth element. It is kind of iconic in a weird way. That orange jumpsuit. It's like the orange jumpsuit, pink hair, pigtails.
And the funny thing is, like, color palette-wise, you probably wouldn't want to wear orange if you have a lighter skin tone. Or actually, any skin. Does orange work on anybody? Unless you have green skin?
Unless you have green skin. I don't think orange would work too much on...
I feel like it doesn't work on
tropical
anybody.
Asian people like myself. I don't think...
I don't know. I guess if it's, like... If the base is orange, I feel like that doesn't work. But, yeah, you can have, like, orange palm trees or something on... I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like Paulie or whatever from Sopranos, but what do I know?
but what do I know, T? I'm sorry, Yamaguchi, Kenichi Yamaguchi. He does the crazy like flip around, kick you in the face shit too, and he did the first episode of Fooly Cooly fight scene, and then we're like on the bridge and stuff, and then there's a shaky camera kind of thing. That isn't, you've seen a lot of anime later on when they do battle fight scenes, where she jumps off of the butt of Momo as she's like kind of bent over and then flips to the bodyguards and just fucking twists their necks around and kicks them with her legs. And the camera kind of moves around back and forth a little bit to show the slight shaky camera. Very, like, very cinematography technique happening there. That's super cool. But that being said, that's Kenichi Yamaguchi. He does a lot of shit like that, I guess. So, which I don't see a lot of his other work on here. I know he did Read or Die and some other stuff. But that being said, very cool. Very cool animation. I would suggest watching this if you're going to do anything. If you don't want to watch these, okay, at all, just watch the bridge, the multi-level bridge street breaking scene in Kite, and then watch the bowling alley fight in Mezzo Forte. Just do that, all right? That's all you need.
No, that'll save you some time. Yeah.
And the sex scenes.
And the sex scenes, yeah.
In Mezzo Forte, anyway.
Carve out a little time for the sex scenes. You know, just carve it out.
Yeah, a little.
Put them on loop. Put them on loop just in case, you know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. That being said, what do we score?
Draw a bubble bath, you know.
What do we
score for Mezzo Forte? Okay. So this one is funny because, like, okay, enjoyability wise and like rewatchability, probably I would rather rewatch Mezzo Forte. But I think Kite was, like, overall better. So I gave Kite on Mal a 7 and Mezzo Forte a 6. But for me, those are above average scores. But, like, yeah, what I would say that we haven't mentioned is the music was not memorable in these.
Oh,
so
sure,
that,
yeah.
That knocks off, like, a full point for me. Like, you can't get a 10 if your music isn't good to me. And then the downsides of Mezzo Forte for me were, I don't know. It was just like a little bit too fast paced, and like you said, they didn't explain the psychic powers bit. And I don't know. I guess it was. Maybe I could give this one. I'd give them both a 7, honestly. But yeah, it was just like a little bit short.
I give Mezzo a 7. I give Kai 7.5. And I give Mezzo a 7.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, the music in Kite was done by, I have it listed on there, on the show sheet.
But I think Kite had slightly better music.
It has better music than in Mezzo Forte. They tried to do like a jazz kind of motif, like a, you know, kind of like Cowboy Bebop, where they put jazz juxtaposed with violent fighting and shit. And
well, it was
fights.
Simple. The voice actor for Mikura just brought over some tunes from the
just
Bebop.
Brought over to, yeah, put this in the CD player. Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't do it very well though, and in Kite, they tried to juxtapose like the somber avant-garde music with some of the more somber scenes and whatever, and then it was silent when some of the more violent scenes were happening, and it was just kind of just like, I don't know if it really mattered, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if I give you ground beef, and you give me a burger to eat, when I ask for something like, you know, more fancy, do something else. You know what I mean? Like, you might as well not put the ground beef on there at all. If I wanted a burger, I would have just gone to Burger King. You
well,
know,
in addition to the music, the sound design also, we should mention, was not up to par compared to, like Perfect Blue or a bunch of other things. Like, because these are OVAs, they probably didn't have a high budget. So, like, when characters would fall down or you know, certain things would happen, you'd hear, like, a bullet sound or, like, a gun shot. But then you wouldn't hear them land. It's like, or like you kind of would, but it was like too quiet, you know?
Or it didn't matter because some other loud thing was happening.
There's something about the sound that was not, that could have been a lot better. And this is true of most old anime. Most old anime has like really fucking shitty sound design.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, most old things in general have poor sound design because I think the technology wasn't cheap enough at that point. But
yeah.
Yeah,
the greatest sounds are like the loud ones. You know what I mean? And the rest of it's just like they didn't care about.
Well, I just want it to feel like kinetic and like tactile. You know,
like
if
it's
I
happening.
Don't,
yeah.
Yeah, if I don't feel that, then it could have been better. So
the
greatest
sound ever in Mezzo was the diarrhea.
Oh yeah.
The rest of it was bad.
You know, that's where they blew all their budget. I think
they blew all the budget. Spent all the budget on the diarrhea.
They're like, hey, boss, I got to take a shit. Hey, take in this recorder with you.
They gave Sudi $500 to record that. He was like, all right.
Yeah,
this.
Hey, Sudi, here's a gallon of milk.
I'm just kidding. Shout out, Sudi. No, but like, I kind of agree with you. It's kind of like they just put sounds where they thought it was most necessary and then kind of forgot about everything else. And it kind of was basic because of it. You know what I mean? Not bad.
It adds
basic.
A lot, though. The sound adds so much. Because if there's an action scene and someone gets hit and you don't feel the hit, then it's so much less impactful. It's like, did that even hurt? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with that.
But that's a little bit of a nitpick. This is still a very enjoyable. Both of these were enjoyable. Mezzo was a little bit more fun, but yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Agree.
And hotter sex scenes. There you go.
I think Nick would rather do it with the orange girl.
Oh, yeah. Leave the jumpsuit on, please.
Leave the jumpsuit on, yeah. That being said, yeah, double feature, Anime Summit double feature. There you go. You'll spend about a couple hours of your time, you know, just watching some of these. And I think they're worth it. I think they're worth the watch. I think Nick could agree. If Danny was here, I'm sure she might not agree. I'm not sure.
Well, she didn't like Kite Liberator. I know that.
She tried to watch Liberator, and she was like, dude, let's not do this. And, oh, I should mention that, too. Originally, what I had planned was Kite and Kite Liberator. But then Nick was like, we should watch Kite and Mezzo Forte. And I was like,
yeah,
no, I think you're
this
right.
Is better. Yeah, this I was is like, way better.
Way better double feature, yeah. And then, and I think the reason why that's better, too, is also because these were the two kind of works that he did that kind of set him off, right? And so now Umetsu, what you'll find him doing nowadays is a lot of boarding and directing for EDs and OPs. I think
he's also known for Wizard Barristers, I think.
Yeah.
On the Wikipedia is hilarious. He's known for Kite and Wizard Barristers.
Wizard Barristers. He does a lot of work. He's done a lot of work for Puro and some other things. He has art books out there as well. He did some illustrator and character designing for some video games here and there. But that being said, I mean, I guess some of the most notable ones he's done recently is that he was OP director for Dimension W, ED director for Gangsta, Eld Live, which I think is a gacha game. He was the animation director. Or no, Eld Live? No, that's an anime, right? It's based on a manga. Okay. Studio Piro, Shonen Jump, Token Ranru Hanamaru, which is a Token Ranru series, is like a browser video game based on swords as husbandos, that kind of thing. But yeah, there you go. Wizard Barristers, dude. Isn't this one of his that he did that he created, or is this created by someone else?
Well, he was involved in it, so Wizard.
Oh, written and directed by Yasumi Umetsu.
Haven't you
okay.
seen this? I feel like this is something you've seen.
No.
2014, right?
I guess I'm broke as a joke. I don't know shit.
The characters do look like
they're very Umetsu looking, yeah. That's why I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Hell yeah, maybe you want to watch that one. Oh, shit. But yeah, that being said, you guys should just do yourself a favor. You're chilling with the homies, and you're like, hey, let's just put this on. Let's watch it real quick. Couple hours of your time, I think they're worth a watch. And again, Yasumi Umetsu is one of my favorite artists. I love his work. I love his style. So it just works out for me, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, thank you for listening every week. And again, if you haven't listened to the Summit Plummet Award Show, came out last weekend, go listen to it. It's really fun, super fun. At first I wasn't sure I wanted to do it, and I'm glad we did. I had so much fun. It was hilarious. And, of course, if you listen to our interview that came out on Monday with Hugh, you should go listen to that, too. It's a good interview that me and Daddy did. That being said, I love you guys very much. Thank you for listening every week. Shout-out Danny for going to get me that cat. She'll be back next week. And we'll be back with our winter review. All right? So we got to catch up on some shows and shit. But, yeah, I love you guys. I've been Sam, that's been Nick, that's been Honey Bear, and we've been the Anime Summit Podcast.
I'll be in my bunk.
With the orange girl.